preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Prophecy Quake. As many of you may have seen, we are going to replay a show tonight. We're just going to take the night off and replay one from October the 18th of 2015, so about a year and a half ago, End Time Mind Control and Deliverance. Since we've been on this subject of deliverance with Fire and Grace Church and Dean Oil Ministries now for a few weeks, I just thought we'd stay with this theme and just look at how Satan is going to control the minds of people, his agenda for that, how people are going to give over their God-given free will to the beast and his new world order. And it'll take faith and the supernatural power of Jesus to stand against this onslaught of Satan's mind control. So we'll go through this. And as we said in the introduction here, it says the first step is to be truly saved and walking with Jesus. Step two is fully understanding our authority and prayer and power against Satan and demons and how to use it. And thirdly, we must understand demonic contamination and how to maintain freedom through self-deliverance. So we just want to play this. This is from a church service from Pastor Dean. He preached in October 2015 at Fire and Grace Church. So it's going to be a little shorter than our normal Monday night two-hour show. It's going to be about an hour and a half, give or take a little. So I hope y'all are blessed. Y'all enjoy this. It'll be along the same lines as what we've been talking about and preaching for the last few weeks anyway. So this will be good. More information along the same lines. And we can never have too much information on deliverance and Satan's agenda and his desires to control people. So here it is, the replay from October 18th, 2015, End Time Mind Control and Deliverance. Pastor Dean Odell at Fire and Grace Church. Y'all have a blessed night, and we'll see y'all back here Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
Truly, Lord, we sing that song. Here we stand, Lord, our hearts are yours. Not our will, but yours be done. God, we so thank you for your word, that you've given us your Holy Spirit of truth to guide us in your word, that you have revealed truth, absolute truth. Truth that we can bet our lives on, that we can bet eternity on. We thank you, Lord, that you have proved your word to be true. You have confirmed it. Lord, it is established in the heavens. And the heavens and earth may pass away, Lord Jesus, but you said your word will never pass away. We thank you, Lord, your words are eternal. We thank you, Lord, according to Hebrews 4, Lord, that they're alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And let us be reminded this morning that your words give us power against Satan, demons, and all the forces of darkness. We have great power and great authority in the name of Jesus as believers. Make that real to everyone here today, those who are listening, those who will listen. Father, make it real today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I I am reminded this morning of a testimony that I read many, many years ago. And I'm thinking it was probably 1987 or 88. And I remember, you know, I was brand new in my walk with the Lord and my rededication to the Lord after those years of being a backslidden, rebellious teenager. And I had come back to the Lord in 1987, and I had just, you know, radically saved, radical repentance. When I say radical, really, it's just real biblical repentance. I've shared that testimony with you many times. You know, I wanted Jesus more than I wanted my old life or anything in my old life. That's how you know you got saved. Amen? When you love Jesus more than anything that you had in your old life or anything that you did, any relationship, any drug, any alcohol, any sexual pleasure, lust, anything that you had in that old life, you don't love it anymore. You love Jesus. You want Jesus. You want to know Him. You want to be with Him. You want to obey Him. You want to please God. You desire it more than anything else. If you don't have a desire in your heart to please God and to do those things that He desires and to make Him happy and to have intimacy with Him, I have to question whether you're even saved. You're either one of two. You're either not saved, or you're completely backslidden and lukewarm, because you should have a desire for Jesus, for the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to pray, to worship. And the devil's out to rob that from you. But I'm reminded of this testimony because I remember one of the first book series, or I ever read about spiritual warfare. Of course, one of them was He Came to Set the Captives Free by Dr. Rebecca Brown. And plus, I'd had my own crash course in leading a witch to Jesus. My first convert ever was a Satanist, so I got a real education real fast. But I remember getting a hold of Kenneth E. Hagin's series on demons. And I remember this testimony. It's imprinted in my brain. It's like a little thin books, but a little four-volume set. And he talked about, you know, he at the time was a traveling preacher. He would travel from church to church to church, and he ministered as a prophet and a teacher. And a lot of people don't like Kenneth E. Hagin. And listen, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't a perfect man. But the man loved God, and the man got a lot of revelation from Jesus and gave us a lot of truth that the body of Christ needed, especially back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, he really laid the foundation for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they operate in the church and basic demonology. But he told this story because he used to travel, and he used to mainly preach in Pentecostal Assembly of God churches and non-denominational charismatic churches. That's primarily where he went to speak. And he told the story of a pastor's wife who was truly saved. She was born again. She loved Jesus. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. She was a mature Christian. He said she had devoured God's Word for years and years and years. And she was used mightily in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of prophecy, gifts of healing. She was a woman of God and was also gifted with a great voice. She could sing. And their church, you know, got big. You know, God was blessing. The church was growing. Things were happening. And, of course, this is back in the 70s when, you know, things, you want to talk about Pentecostal charismatic churches were exploding with growth. And anyway, he said that she began to listen to the devil in her mind. And that he would go and preach to this in this church, you know, kind of
once a year or whatever, he kind of traveled a circuit, and he would always go back to this church. And so he knew this pastor and his wife very well. And he said he watched over time, over a number of years, how she began to drift away from God. And he said he was in prayer, and I can't remember if he was getting ready to speak at the church or if he... No, that's right. He was praying somewhere else. But anyway, he had heard that the woman had left her husband for another man, got in an adulterous affair, left her husband, left the ministry, and began pursuing a career in secular music. Okay? But he said what the Lord gave him was he was praying, and the Lord gave him a vision. He said, I want to show you how this happened. And he said he saw in this vision this woman. He said she was also beautiful, and she had a beautiful voice, so she had everything, you know, the world wants in a, you know, celebrity and a music artist. And he said this devil kept coming to her ear and saying, your talents are being wasted. You could be doing so much more. And then I'm sure, you know, your husband doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. And this man over here, he loves you, can help you go much further than where you are in this little Pentecostal church. He said he saw that, and he said at first the woman would bind the demons, rebuke the demons, say, get behind me, Satan, get away from me, and the demon would flee. So, but after a while, she started listening to it and entertaining its thoughts. This is where we get in trouble. This is the beginning of our downfall in anything, is when we start entertaining the voices of the enemy and the images he puts in our head. The moment we start entertaining, we don't rebuke them, bind those demons, rebuke them and resist them immediately in the name of Jesus. And we start entertaining them, and that's the first thought. And he said he saw this little gray or black like dot, dark dot. Once she started, it went into her head. He could see through her. He said it went into her head. He said, so at this point, it's become a stronghold in her mind. She's beginning to accept what this lying spirit, this demon spirit, was telling her. She began to accept it. And then she began to entertain it. He said, but when she chose to act upon it, when she chose to go with this man, to have this affair, to leave this church, didn't want to be a pastor's wife, leave her husband, the pastor. When she chose that, he said he saw the dot, which was a demon spirit, okay, go from her brain down into her heart. He said, and then she was full-blown. He said, and not only, she said, from that point she went from man to man to man, relationship to relationship, became a hateful devil to her ex-husband. And nothing that she had hoped for, desired in the music industry ever opened up for her. And he said he saw her die in this thing and go to hell. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is what I'm going to call this end time mind control and deliverance. Now you need to stay with me on this, because this is vitally important. Because Satan's goal has always been to manipulate the minds of men and women, to manipulate, to influence, but ultimately so he can gain control of your life. It started early on. And see, this is what I don't understand. Most churches today want to ignore the supernatural element that we live in. They do. But yet the book starts out with the supernatural element of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Supernatural made the natural realm. And then he created man and woman, male and female, and he put them in the garden. But there was another spiritual entity in the universe by the name of Satan, the serpent. And he came into the garden, and it says he came in the garden, we know this from 2 Corinthians 11, he came in the garden to corrupt Eve's mind. Before the devil can do anything in your life, he's got to gain entrance, a doorway, a legal right. And if he has no legal right through sin, he's got to find one. He's got to get you to allow one, a door to open. And that's what he did with Eve. Eve, instead of rebuking this lying serpent, this half-truth-telling devil, and let me just say this, the whispering in your ears is always going to contain some truth, because he's a genius at mixing a little bit of truth with a lie. Because if he didn't mix some truth in with the lie, you would never accept it. This is what he's good at. That's why Jesus called him a liar and the father of liars. Right? He's really, really good at it. And it says that he came in and he corrupted Eve's mind. He convinced her that God was keeping something back from her. He convinced her she could have more knowledge and more experience and that the grass is greener on the other side. And when she, instead of resisting that devil and telling him to get from her in the name of the Lord, she entertained him. And then once she entertained his lies and his voice, then she ended up believing it enough to act on it. Let me just say this. You will always act upon what you believe. That's faith. And faith can work in the negative as well as the positive. We all have faith. We operate on faith every day. You didn't know it, but you operated in faith when you sat in that chair, because you believed that that chair would hold your weight. If you didn't believe that chair would hold you, would you sit in it? No. We operate in faith all the time. Right? Now, God wants us to use our faith. Our faith should be in Him. And what we believe about God and His Word, we will act upon. That's why James said faith without works is dead, being alone. Right? What you believe, you will act upon. So if the devil comes lying to you like he did with Eve, you shall not surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I know God said if you eat of it, you shall die, but no. It's not the way it is. The moment you believe something in your heart, you'll act upon it. Right? This is what Satan's after, because once you act upon it, like Eve did, or like Cain did. Remember, Cain was warned. The Bible says it was Satan. 1 John 3 lets us know it was Satan that was tempting Cain to kill his brother. And God warned Cain. He said, sin lieth at the door. And the Hebrew picture given there for sin lieth at the door is as an animal or a lion crouched in the grass, ready to attack, ready to pounce. And he warned him, sin lieth at the door, Cain. The thoughts you're entertaining is of the wicked one, the murderer, the liar. Don't listen. Well, doesn't God come to us all the time in our hearts and in our conscience, and he's always speaking to us? Don't listen. He's trying to tell you you're sick, trying to tell you that you're weak, that you're a failure, that you will never overcome, that you'll never be a strong Christian, that you'll never do any. See, he's a liar. He wants you to believe stuff that's not true, so you'll act upon it. Boy, this happens in marriages all the time, doesn't it? Devil's always coming, he doesn't love me, she doesn't love me. Most of the crap that happens between husbands and wives is whispering devils that we listen to. Both sides, male and female. Both of them. This battle for the corruption of our minds, we have got to fight it. If we get lazy, in resisting the devil in our minds, in our thought life, we will fall. You hear me? Laziness doesn't work when it comes to spiritual warfare. Now, why am I bringing this up? I know you say, Pastor D, you've preached on this stuff before about controlling our minds and our thought life. Right? I want you to understand something. You think it's bad right now, the spiritual warfare against your mind that's going on now. You think it's bad now. It's only going to get worse because the devil, we have been warned in the scriptures, and it's happening, but we have been warned that the devil and his demon spirits and his fallen angels aren't going to just settle for using the normal techniques of trying to whisper in your ear and influence you. That in the days ahead, they're going to couple that with great signs and wonders, lying signs, satanic signs and wonders, and they're going to couple this with technology. Now, if you don't believe that, I'm going to read a couple of things to you. This was an article that came out this week. I saw it earlier in the week. And it was just confirmation this morning. Oh, Marlene or Paul one sent it to Nancy, and I thought, isn't that amazing? Because I'm going to talk about this today. But this is no joke right here. And let me just explain something to you. Right now, there are government projects, not just United States government, but world governments around the world, projects, scientific studies being done, techniques and technologies being developed, all designed to completely take away your free will and control your mind. Now, you can say this is conspiracy theory, but it's funny. It's in USA Today. And I'm going to give you three things just here that technology's coming, then we're going to look at the scriptures on something, because I want you to understand something. Apart from being strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding your power and authority you have, you will not be able to overcome the demons or the coming beast technology they're going to use against us. We're going to have supernatural power from Jesus Christ to be able to resist what is coming upon us. And even now they're beginning to use it. But again, it's Satan's goal. He's not ever satisfied. He's not satisfied with just trying to influence your mind. He wants to control your mind. And what's scary is the technology is being developed, and it's interesting because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said there would be inventors of evil things. Matter of fact, let's read that before I read these passages. Go to 2 Timothy 3 so you can see that. Kind of a good place to start, verse 1. Or maybe it's not 2 Timothy 3, is it? Look that up for me, babe, inventors. Maybe Romans, Romans 1. But this is still a good place to start. Romans 1? Huh, 1:30? Okay. But he says here, this know also, this is a good passage right here anyway. He says, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come. Now, dangerous. And that's what I'm going to tell you, it is dangerous. Go to Romans 1:30. That's where it says, that's good. Good we looked it up. Talked about how people would be Look at verse 28. We'll read from there. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Speaking of homosexuals here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, look at that, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only that do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the Bible tells us that we would live in dangerous times, and that we would live in a time when men would be inventors of evil things. Thinking about CERN right now, there's some new developments going on with CERN that's quite scary, what they're trying to do. It's out coming out now that they really are trying to tear a hole in the space-time continuum. And believe that they can do it. These are world-class physicists. These aren't conspiracy nuts with tinfoil hats in a basement somewhere. Right? It's quite frightening what they're doing. But inventors of evil things. So this week, this article comes out. Let me get to it here. This is the Independent UK. But it's been in many news sources. Here's the title. Disabling parts of the brain with magnets can weaken faith in God and change attitudes to immigrants, study finds. This is what he says here. By shutting down the threat processing center of the brain, scientists weakened people's faith in God and made them less prejudiced. I'm going to read this. A joint team of American and British scientists have discovered that powerful magnetic pulses to the brain can temporarily change people's feelings on a variety of subjects, from their belief in God to their attitude toward immigration. The study, published in the Journal of Social, Cognitive, and Affective Neuroscience, saw scientists use a metal coil to create strong magnetic fields around certain parts of the brain. The non-invasive practice is called transcranial magnetic stimulation and can be used to treat depression. However, researchers have now found that by targeting the part of the brain that deals with threats, they can temporarily change people's beliefs and views. This is why the end's going to come. God is not going to allow Satan to take everyone's free will from them. Free will is a gift from God. That's why Calvin was a devil. John Calvin, I mean. Free will is a gift from God. And if it wasn't, the devil wouldn't be working so hard to steal it. Right? The team, comprised of scientists from the University of York and the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, used 39 politically moderate students as test subjects. The two were split into two groups. One, the control group, was given a sham dose of magnetism that was not strong enough to influence brain activity, basically a placebo. The other got a strong pulse of TMS that was strong enough to temporarily shut down the posterior medial frontal cortex, a part of the brain that plays a key role in both detecting discrepancies between desired and current conditions and adjusting subsequent behavior to resolve such conflicts. In other words, this part of the brain processes threats and conflicts and decides how to respond to them. Before receiving their doses of TMS, both groups were asked about their own death. In this area, the test built on previous studies, which have shown that being confronted with the threat of death can alter a person's belief in God. Anyway, it was shown to lessen people's belief system in God. And to change their mind on subjects, political subjects like immigration. Now, folks, you want to talk about the government having something, the governments of the world, that they could absolutely drool with lust over. It's something to control people's minds, what they think politically and about God. Published, scientific magazine, UCLA, University of York. This is not tinfoil hat stuff, right? Then a few months back, I remember reading this one to you. This is USA Today. Matter of fact, I'll show it to somebody. Pablo, is that USA Today? All right. USA Today. Military to fund implantable device to treat PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. When they say military, they mean DARPA. It says, treating mental illness across the USA is wrought with imperfections. Existing treatments like psychotherapy and medications aren't guaranteed to work, especially over time. The military's research arm is taking a different track in funding a $26 million project to develop a device implanted in the skull. The goal is to stimulate parts of the brain as a way to treat psychiatric disorders, including depression, addiction, and post-traumatic stress disorder. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is funding the five-year project led by the University of California, again, San Francisco, and Massachusetts General Hospital. An implanted device could allow researchers to stimulate specific parts of the brain in ways not previously possible. For example, if a patient is treated for depression with Prozac, the entire brain is affected by elevated levels of serotonin, said Dr. Imad Iskander, a neurosurgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital and one of the lead researchers on the DARPA project. And you love it, doctors and the government working together on how to control your brain. He said it's much better to fix the actual part of the brain that's not working properly and not just bathe the whole brain with a chemical soup that has some undesirable side effects. So they admit that all these drugs people are using, these antidepressants, are just bathing the entire brain with a chemical soup. We don't know what it's going to do exactly. But folks, this right here ought to scare the hell out of you. There's another one. I'm telling you, I'm going to be honest with you. If I didn't know Jesus and know his power, I would be worried. Because guess what? The Bible goes along with this. See, this is why I believe the Bible says that those who end up taking the mark of the beast and implant will not be able to repent, will not ever be able to be saved. I believe that they're developing an implant or have already had it, really, that will completely shut down the area of your brain where you connect with God. See, what they're messing with here is mankind, we are both a physical being and a spiritual being. And if you start messing too much with the brain and with the heart, you're messing not just with the physical part of man or woman, you're messing with their spiritual aspect as well. I mean, think about it. If you murder someone, that's not just killing their physical body. You're affecting their spirit and their soul. Because at that moment, you determine that their spirit and soul has to go somewhere, heaven or hell. You determine. That's why murder is so horrible. Sin is always a physical and a spiritual act. That's why it says fornication is not just a sin against God's law. He says it's a sin against your own body. I mean, we can talk a lot of time about not just about even viewing pornography, the effects that it has on your physical brain. Something you've got to get a hold of. Sin is not just a physical act. It's always a physical and a spiritual act. It affects both realms. Amen? There are scarier things out there. There are implants being discovered in people's bodies that some doctors say they don't know where they come from. Probably government experiments on people without their knowledge in hospitals. But there are people, and some people are claiming they're abducted by aliens and the aliens put the implants. But they are finding implants. And one doctor said this implant is changing this person's DNA. And we don't have time to get into all that this morning. But now you're going to understand something. Go with me to... We're going to work our way backwards. Go to Revelation 16. Y'all okay this morning? I'm preaching on this because I don't want you to be weak as these things begin to come down. Now, we ignore these things, but I want to show you. The Bible talks about both spiritual forces of Satan and technological implants that control all buying and selling. If you don't take it, you die. All right? So we're talking about both a spiritual attack on mankind and a technological attack. The devil's going to use both. All right? I want you to see the great influence Satan's going to have over the world at the end. Look at this. It's going to be easy for him. Revelation 16, verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now look at this. We ignore this most of the time. We just read over this, and he says this, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So in the end here, at Armageddon, these demon spirits are going to go out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the false prophet, who will be the final pope, out of the mouth of the Antichrist. And these demon spirits are going to go forth, and they're going to be able to bring all the kings of the earth. They're going to have that much influence and control. No one will resist. If God says they will all come, they will all come. Why would it be that easy? I mean, think about it. How hard it is for the president of the world or the different world leaders to get together and agree on anything, whether it be Syria, whether it be ISIS. I mean, if the world out there agreed a year ago that ISIS is bad and we need to stop them, then they could have been stopped a year ago. Great influence. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Are you there yet? Actually, hold your spot there. We're going to do the one right before this. Go back to Revelation. Go to Revelation 9. And then we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2. See, this also shows you something. I've preached on Revelation 9 many times. This is probably one of the most puzzling passages here. Remember, I think we're seeing a lot of this mind control because a lot of it's coming through music, television. Do you know, a lot of you don't know this, do you know that there's these cell towers put up all over the United States? And it's recently been discovered that these things that look like cell towers, a lot of them, are not cell towers. Mm-hmm. The government's using them for different reasons. They're all over the place. Now, the government does have, we know, a thing called the Voice of God weapon. That's what they call it. How many of you heard of that? The Voice of God weapon. Just a few of you. It is where they can focus this energy, can't remember all of it now, it's been a while since I looked at it, at a person and project into their brain a voice and make them think that they're hearing God's voice. Let me just tell you, that there is an all-out war. You need to understand. Everybody look at me. Look at this way. Say this with me. There is, an all-out war, for my mind. All-out war, both spiritual and physical. Now, Revelation 9, this is after the sixth trumpet war, one-third of mankind killed by the fire and the brimstone. This is the verse that blows my mind. It says, after this great war, look at verse 20 in Revelation 9, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders and of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So think about this. What the Bible's telling us is mankind's brain, minds are going to be so controlled by Satan and by, I believe, evil government leaders that even World War III will still cause this bunch of zombie brains. People still won't fall on their knees like in mass, and repent. Confess their sins to God and turn from their sins. Think about that. We're going to see mushroom clouds. We're going to see entire cities destroyed. We're going to see all these things happen at this sixth trumpet war. And he says, yet still, and I believe what he's saying here is not that it won't be anyone, but he's saying the vast majority, even after this great plague, this great judgment, God stepping back, letting mankind pretty much destroy a third of itself, they won't repent. And you know what's interesting about the word repent? One of the simple definitions of the word repent, metanoia, means to change your mind, to think differently afterwards. Some of you are already hard-headed. There's a bunch of folks that hear the truth, hear the truth, hear the truth, hear the truth, hear the truth. Let it be confirmed by miracles, signs, and wonders of Jesus, confirmed by fulfilled prophecies, confirmed by all these things, still won't change. Still won't repent. Still won't change the way they think and the way they act. Won't make Jesus Lord of their lives. Hard heads. Matter of fact, I have never seen a time in my 30 years of being a minister that it's more difficult to get someone truly saved, truly repentant, turned around. Never has it been so difficult. I believe part of it is because people are so given over to their technology and their media and their entertainment. They're just completely controlled. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. And we're going to talk a little bit here about this. All right? It's important today. Going somewhere with this. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 is talking about the mystery of iniquity, the man of sin coming, the Antichrist, and the whole thing. And verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And that's interesting when he says there, with all power. You know what that means? With all kinds of power. spiritual, technological, all kinds of power. Look at verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen to me. I've thought about this verse often. I've preached on this verse. I do believe that part of this passage has to do with the great deception and signs and wonders we're going to see in the heavens that are going to be of satanic origin. I believe we're going to see the Pope, whether it be this one or there's one more, I believe we're going to see the Pope do amazing miracles, even on television. We're going to see the Antichrist and the Pope, the false prophet, do great miracles to deceive people even further. But I also believe there's something else working here. Because God says here that if you don't receive the love of the truth. Now, the love word here is agape, meaning that you love the word of God and the truth of God's word more than anything. I mean, you are absolutely consumed with it. You love it unconditionally more than anything in your life, anything in this world. You love the word of God. You love the truth. He's saying if you don't love the truth, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't love Jesus and his word with all of your heart, and you want to keep having pleasure in unrighteousness, God's going to back away from you, and the strong delusion's going to come, and you're going to believe the lie. You will not make it, he's saying, without absolutely loving the truth of God's word. And loving Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, who says that he is the only way to heaven. See, this is what I'm saying to you. You better be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You better be filled with the Holy Ghost. You better love Jesus more than anything else. You better love the Word of God more than anything else. If you don't, your mind will be corrupted. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't have a choice. It will happen to you. You will either get closer to Jesus and have supernatural power to control your mind and to fight off this assault of the devil. Or you're going to keep playing games and loving the pleasures of unrighteousness and sin and wickedness and being lukewarm. And slowly but surely, your mind is going to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You will believe a lie, and God will allow it because you did not love him with all your heart. You did not love his truth and his word. So he will back away, and he will let it all overtake you. Is that not what this says? Listen to me. God does not have, he's not obligated to protect you just because you call yourself a Christian. It's going to get real, whether you want it to get real or not. It's going to get real. I saw a video. I don't know if it's true or not. But I tell you what, the two guys talking on it seemed like they were for real telling the truth. The two guys in the Philippines. Somebody sent me this video. Do I know it's true or not? But I can tell you one thing. It's biblical, what they were talking about. But what they were saying is that in the Philippines, in different towns, and this may be, you know how they test things first? The Philippines may be the test place for introducing the mark of the beast. Because these two guys said, they're going into towns in the Philippines, in remote areas, and they're telling people they have to take these chips, these implants. And if they don't take them, he said, they take them out and kill them immediately. And these two guys are not like, you know, they're not pastors. They weren't Bible scholars. And he was talking about how they're putting it in their hand or their head. He said, and it has to do something. And he says, it's something with 666. He said, well, what if people say no? He said, they kill him. That's exactly what Revelation 13 says. He will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive the mark in their right hand and forehead. If they don't, we'll not be able to buy or sell. And those who don't will be killed. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm just telling you what I heard. Is that coming? Is that coming to mankind? See, right now, what most people don't realize is they're under mind control and brainwashing techniques. Right now, you're getting the soft sell on the chip and the cashless society. They're pushing it soft. That'd be better. Be more secure transactions. People won't be able to steal your information. Really? The chip can be read from a satellite. It can be read from a reader 50 feet away. Some of them are probably even better than that now. So if somebody's savvy enough hacker can hack your chip, well, who's to say? If it's a small computer in your hand, you're going to tell me that's going to be more secure than my computer at home? It can be hacked. People are going to get hacked. But they're selling it to us, mind control. But see, soon some of these things are not going to be optional. Now, here's something else I want to tell you. This is where we need to go this morning. Some of you need to understand, and there are people listening to me, to be strong in the Lord and to overcome Satan and all of this stuff in the flesh, and all of this warfare that's coming against us, you better make sure your house and body is clean from demonic strongholds. Now, I've taught this many times, and I don't want to repeat it this morning. But demonic contamination, giving place to the devil in your life, spirit, soul, or body. Christians can do it at any point in time. Sometimes it's done through ignorance. Sometimes it's done through active sin. Sometimes it's done by entertaining the thoughts that you keep entertaining. Sometimes it's done to you by someone laying hands on you that shouldn't. But listen to me. Paul said in Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. And he said that to Christians. Now the word place there, topos, give no foothold to the devil. What's interesting is the word and the Greek picture you get there about giving place to the devil. The first way you do it, the Greek picture of the word is putting a sword back in the sheath. Uh-oh. Means you quit fighting with the Word of God. The first place you give place. But I'm here to tell you that a Christian, even one who's been through deliverance, can reopen doors or have them pushed open a little bit. And that's why there needs to be a maintenance in your life. Let me tell you something. How many of you in here have only taken one bath in your life? Nobody. Well, if you had, because we'd smell you. We'd know. You couldn't lie your way out of that, right? See, I want to tell you something. A Christian can have a demon. A Christian can acquire a bunch of demons in them. And if you don't get rid of them in Jesus' name, your life's going to fall apart. Let me tell you a little story. A few weeks ago, I let someone lay hands on me that I thought was a Christian. And let me tell you what happened. I came under one of the worst onslaughts of Satan in my mind and in my body that I've gone through in years. I mean, horrendous. You name it. Couldn't sleep. Constantly feeling bad. Tormented with images and lustful thoughts and attacks in my brain. I mean, just bombarded, like just felt like something was destroying me. Depression, anger, discouragement beyond words. I mean, I felt like it was just crushing the life out of me. Well, because I knew that, you know, sometimes even some Christians can pass some stuff to you, okay? But this was more. It was unlike anything I had dealt with in a long time. So I'm praying, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, that person is into witchcraft. I'll put it that way. You need to pray over yourself. So I began to pray. I began to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind the demons that were transferred to me through the laying on of hands, divination, witchcraft, lust, perversion, everything. As I began to bind those demons and command them to leave me that came in through the laying on of hands, I was laying there coughing my guts up as these things were leaving me one after the other. Oh, it took me a little while because this person is obviously pretty powerful in witchcraft. And I was like, blew my mind. But immediately, all of that stuff, all of those tormenting thoughts, images, all of the depression, all the heaviness, even the weakness and the attacks I was feeling in my body left. Immediately. This is not a game, folks. Had I been ignorant to binding demons and casting them out, or that I could give place to demons to get strongholds in me through the laying on of hands of somebody who's not where they need to be, had I not known that, I would have gone on to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with this stuff until it took me down. You understand? And I'm trying to get this across to people that call me all the time. Look, somebody's not always going to be able to sit down with you and take you through deliverance. You better learn how to bind the demons in Jesus' name and cast them out of yourself and ask Jesus to close the door. Self-deliverance. I'm going to tell you something. I've done 90% or more of my deliverance that I went through over the years has been self-deliverance. Now, there's nothing wrong. God, there are times you may need help from somebody else. And that's fine. And it's biblical for to get together with other believers and pray and have somebody pray for you. But a lot of times, if you're just doing some maintenance, you've opened the door. You didn't mean to. You watched a movie you shouldn't have watched. You did something you shouldn't have done. You went and got acupuncture. You didn't know it was bad. And all of a sudden, you're having all these spiritual problems, and you realize, I got to cast the demons out. And look, anybody right now listening, and you don't want to agree, you don't think a Christian can have a demon, it's time to wake up. Just go to our website, dnodal.org, scroll down the bottom, go to the deliverance page, listen to all those teachings, and get the scriptures. I'm not arguing that point today. Matter of fact, 99.999% of the hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of demons that I've cast out of people over the years have been out of Christians. In fact, I don't even sit down and pray with unsaved people because they can't keep demons out anyway. It's not even biblical to cast demons out of unsaved people. Jesus would not cast demons out of someone who was not an Israelite because at that time you had to be in a blood covenant with God, and the only covenant that existed was the old covenant, and it was a blood covenant with God Almighty. And he said, you know, the Syrophoenician woman came, Matthew 15, wanted Jesus to cast demons out of the daughter. He said, wouldn't even speak to her. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he said this. He said, deliverance is the children's bread. It's not for the unsaved. You cast demons out of unsaved people. It says the demon goes out, He'll leave. He has to leave. In the name of Jesus, if you're a believer and you have authority and power in Jesus' name, you cast demons out of somebody, you command them to leave. They got to leave. It says, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places to seek rest. He finds them. Then he said, I will return to my house from whence I came out. So, I mean, somebody cast him out. But he said, I'll return to my house. And when he comes back, he finds it clean, well, cleaned out. But it's empty. No Jesus, no Holy Spirit, no power from God. So the devil says, I will take now seven other spirits more wicked than himself and enter into that man, and the last state of that man will be worse than the first. Matthew 12. You don't cast demons out of unsaved people. It is a very rare thing. The only time I've ever done it, when I say 99.999, I have cast demons out of a person who was completely, totally demon-possessed, out of their mind, mental institution, in and out of mental institution. And I prayed for them just to give them a chance to accept Jesus. So this is not something you approach lightly. Some of you have opened the doors to demons because you've kept entertaining certain thoughts and images and pictures. Some of you have watched some things and listened to some things you shouldn't have. Some of you have let someone lay hands on you shouldn't have. Because some of you are back suffering with things that you were delivered from before. Time to do what 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 says this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Who's he talking to? Let us. Who's he talking to? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Wait a minute, Pastor Dean. Oh, Jesus cleanses us. He does. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But unrighteousness and sins are not demons. Boy, once you learn that reality, you've got to deal with the sin by confession and repentance and let Jesus wash the sin away. But you deal with the demons by binding them and commanding them to leave you in Jesus' name. And that's what this is talking about. Paul was talking to Christians who were, the Corinthians, who were still struggling with sexual immorality. They were still struggling with compromise with idols. They had issues in that church. And he said, you guys better wake up and cleanse yourself from the filthiness of the flesh, your sins, that you're doing, get out of the sin you're doing in the flesh, eating things sacrificed to idols, committing fornication. Get your flesh washed and clean. Get out of the sin, your actions, and spirit. And small s, meaning spiritual uncleanness. But spiritual uncleanness are demons. That's why they're called unclean spirit. You must bind them and command them to leave you in Jesus' name if you're going to be free. Now, the Bible lists a lot of them. The Bible talks about the spirit of whoredom. That would cover spirits of lust, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all sexual perversion and immorality. But just say it. Like, for instance, I knew this person was involved in witchcraft. God spoke to me. So I started binding the demons because witches and Satanists practice not only witchcraft, but a lot of sexual immorality. So that's why I was getting attacked with all these sexual perverted images that hadn't even been in my mind in years. And I had to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demons that came into me through this person laying hands on me and their sexual perversion. So I named all the spirits of sexual perversion that they might be, and I commanded them to leave. And I'm laying on a floor coughing my guts up. But I get up, and the stuff is stopped. Amen? Sometimes you got to throw, I say, sometimes you got to throw the rock down the dark alley, and you know if you hit something by the size of the yell you got back. Not everybody who pretends to be a Christian is a Christian. And not everybody, I'm just going to say this. Even now, I promise you, even in this church, and those listen to me, I promise you there are people that you know that you are absolutely convinced that they are Christians, but they are not. More and more that's going, unless God reveals it and shows it, some of them are really, really, really good. You guys know one. Really good at deceiving and hiding, playing Christian. I got some folks emailing me and contacting me on Facebook. I'm beginning to wonder about some of them. They pretend to be Christians. Some of them are wasting my time. I'm like, something's just not sitting right. Well, I love the block feature. Once I figure it out, if I determine it, ban, block. Yeah? We have got to be strong in the Lord because it's getting more and more tricky and dangerous. Well, let me just tell you what you do, like what I did. If you watched a movie and it got some lustful stuff in it and you just sat there and you let that in and now you're struggling with lust, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to go and say, Lord, forgive me for watching this. I shouldn't let my eyes behold, but forgive me. I repent. Help me not do this. Jesus, wash it away, the sin away. Then you got to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demons of lust, adultery, pornography, whatever. I bind the demons that came in. Just name them for what they're doing. I bind those demons of lust and whoredoms and pornography that came in me through opening that door. I bind those demons and I command them to leave in Jesus' name. And then you say, Jesus, I ask you to close the door that no man, you know, that's self-deliverance in a nutshell. Sometimes you need to make a list. Be very, 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 very careful who you associate with, who you let lay hands on, who you let pray for, who you let minister to. There's something about being in a religious setting or doing a religious act as simple as holding hands in prayer. You know, people think all of us Pentecostals, we want to touch everybody all the time. I don't. I don't want everybody touching me either. See, that's what some of you former Baptists can be in this church, because I'm not your loosey-goosey, nutty, charismatic pastor. Right? Let's all, everybody come up here and lay hands on me. No, 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 we're not doing that. No. We believe in the ministry of laying on of hands, to pray for the sick, cast out demons, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But proven elders are the only ones who should be laying hands on people in the church. Proven. Absolutely proven. Right? Are you? That's the number one way. You want to tell me? Witches are having a heyday going into churches that just let people lay hands on anybody. Heyday, man. And I'm telling you, there are Christians' lives mentally, emotionally, spiritually being destroyed because of this ignorance. And they're giving place to demons from witches, Wiccan witches, Satanists, New Age freaks. I have a friend. I won't say where. He could be listening. I love him, but I want to smack him in the mouth sometimes. But Christian, going out to some New Age festival because some of his friends wanted to go. And I told him, I said, do not let any of those medium fortune tellers lay hands on you, prophesy over you, do anything. I mean, this is like New Age. It was a New Age festival, Haven Film Festival thing. Don't do it. I explained to him, you're going to open the door for demons. What does he do? He goes to this festival. And they got their little places set up. You know, I mean, Mardi Gras, you go down there in front of the Catholic church, they'll have all the fortune teller tables, one after the other after the other. Right in front of the Catholic church, right in front of the front doors. I've been there. The nuns don't have a problem with that, but if you point out that they have idols in their church, they'll throw you out of the foyer like they did me. But the fortune teller can sit right there by the front door and read tarot cards in front of the Catholic Church in Bourbon Street, where Pope John Paul II visited when he came in 1987. I'm not joking. Front door is where you are. Fortune teller, tarot card reader set up right here. The nuns in the foyer say nothing to them. We walk in the foyer and say, look at all those idols around. The nuns freaked out and threw us out of there. I'm like, you might want to run off the fortune tellers out here in your courtyard. They were okay with that, though. Right? But this friend was walking down through there, and they come out and say, oh, you have this different aura around you. You've got light around you. And then they lay hands on him and start prophesying, and he just takes it. Let me tell you what would have happened if it had been me. They would have said, ooh, you got this aura around you. I said, yeah, it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth who died and rose again. Don't you touch me. Don't you put hands on me. I bind the demons in you and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I've done that to people. One psycho false prophet tried to lay hands on me without my permission. In a service, I'm sitting on the front row, just like you are. And this false prophet starts at me. He's going to lay hands on me. I said out loud, and everybody on the front row could hear me, the people in the back couldn't. I said out loud, I bind the demons in you, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And the hand got right here. Had to stop, was shaking. She could not put her hand on me. And I remember when it was over, she tried to give me some prophecy, and I said, I don't receive that, I rebuke that in the name. It was a false prophecy. And the guy that invited me was sitting in the back. So I got up. The moment the service was over, I got up to leave. He goes, well, what did you think? I said, she's a false prophet. And I walked out the door. You don't accept. And let me tell you what happened to him afterwards. Car wreck after car wreck. I think he was two or three car wrecks. Was in the hospital, nearly died several times. And I know it's directly related to opening a door. And I'm not talking bad about him. I told him this to his face. We still communicate. I told him, what were you thinking? Ignorance will get you killed. Ignorance will get you opening doors to demons. Ignorance will get you in trouble. My people, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Oh, but I'm saved, Pastor Dean. I've got the blood of Jesus on me. The devil can't touch me. I got the victory. You do, huh? Okay. You got the victory, huh? Okay. Well, go down here to Miss Psychic B. Miss B or Miss Smith or whoever. Miss Tarot Card Reader. Yeah, just visit her and let's find out what happens to you. As a Christian, you can't just do anything you want to do and think you're untouchable. You got to fight this stuff off. Some of you have given place to the devil just because you've gotten lazy and put the sword up. You don't read anymore. You don't pray anymore. You spend your time watching TV or on your phone. And you want to know why the devil's beating your brain then? Oh, Pastor Dean, pray for me. Okay. Turn the TV off. Let me tell you something. I sat up the other night just for a little while and let the TV run for me. I'm just tired, just sitting there. I should have never done it. I had a terrible day the next day. There's no telling what was coming out. And there was no sexual stuff or lustful stuff. There was nothing coming from it. It's just the TV. No telling what they were projecting on me through that thing. I'm like, man, I felt the funk on me all day long, just oppressed, attacked, miserable. I mean, there are some commercials that will come on, and I'm not even talking about lustful commercials. I'm talking about, you know, like Hardee. Good Lord. Can't even watch TV for Hardee's commercials. I mean, really, it's gotten down to about just watching a football game every once in a while. That's about it. And then I still have to turn my head when Faith already knows. Boy, she'll hide her eyes. Halloween time, you know, now we got all the Halloween commercials. Demons and witches and ghosts and goblins. Oh, don't look at that, Faith. But you sit in front of that television, or your heliputer, telephone, and you're looking at a bunch of stuff you shouldn't be looking at, don't be whining at me that you're depressed and discouraged, don't want to come to church, getting sick. You understand? 90% of your troubles would be conquered, listen to me, if you wouldn't give place to the devil. If you wouldn't be lazy and get tired of fighting. Got news for you. I remember years ago, I remember hearing Dr. Larry Lee when they had that church and they were getting up praying every morning, and he had all these, he had 30-something pastors on staff, Church on the Rock. They all had to be there for every prayer meeting. If you were on paid staff, you didn't have a choice. You were at every prayer meeting the church had. And one of his pastors got tired of getting up at 5 in the morning every morning going to church to pray. And he said, "Pastor, when are we going to rest?" I'll never forget Larry Lee. He said, "We will rest when we sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But right now we got work to do. Right now there's a fight for our minds, for our souls, for eternity. You don't have a choice. You will fight in the name of Jesus Christ and win and overcome, or you will get lazy, backslide, compromise, play games, open doors to the devil, never deal with it, never fight the way you should, and then you will lose. But when you lose, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your family. You may lose your marriage. You may lose your kids. You may lose your eternal soul. So this is a fight you must decide to win. And you can win it. If you are born again, believer in Jesus Christ, and you know you've been saved and washed in the blood, and you know you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have great power against the devil. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 10:19. Jesus has given you great power and authority, but you must use it. He said, "First bind the strong man, and then you'll spoil his house." You must bind demons. I don't care what they say in Lakeland, Florida, at Southeastern Theological Seminary of the AG. Or should I say AOG? Assemblies of God. Not biblical to bind. They teach down there it's not biblical to bind the devil. The Bible says, "I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind in the heavens is bound, and whatever you loose in the heavens, the spirit realm, the heavens." Jesus talked about binding the strong man, the demonic strong man. Then you spoil his whole plan, his whole operation. Bind the devil and the demons. Name them by what they're doing. Bind them in Jesus' name. Rebuke them in Jesus' name. Command them to get out of your house. Get out of your life. Get off of your children. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You must resist or he won't flee. Spiritual warfare 101, folks. If you've opened the door, cast the demon out. Oh, I say it's oppression and not possession. Let me tell you something, sweetie. If you sinned and opened the door, it went in. You don't cast off demons, you cast them out. It's oppression, it's not possession. Well, then why are you cussing your husband out? Because you sound possessed. I'm saved. I can't be possessed. Bleep, 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 bleep. I hate your bleep gut. Let me go get a drink. Yeah, you got some problems. Cast it out in Jesus' name. I don't get all worked up about it. Have these people argue. One of a theological argument. You know, give place to the devil. Guess what? You give him a room in the house, and he starts throwing a keg party. It's time to kick him out. Right? Oh, I guarantee you, if all of us did that in our lives consistently and for each other, we would be the happiest church and the most victorious, overcoming church that could exist. Because if we all do it for ourselves and for each other, we're unbeatable. Jesus said it right after, in the same sentence, he said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom, binding and loosing." In the same thing, he said, what? "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against me." Amen? So see, this technology is coming. I believe the scriptures, no one can take us by force out of the hand of God. So I don't believe if they try to take, you know, kidnap one of us and implant one of us, it's not going to work. But it, because you have Jesus as Lord completely, you will have power against their power. Jesus, you know, everybody says the devil's powerless. No, he's not. Where'd you get that from? Who taught that? Because it's not taught in the Bible. But what is taught is that you will have power over his power. He has power. Satan, the demons, the fallen angels, they have great power. But in Jesus, if we're in Jesus, walking in Jesus, the Word of God, we have greater power. So what about the Christians who are dying? Being killed. Isn't that Satan winning? No, he's not winning. Let me tell you, Jesus made this statement, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend." Let me tell you something. If I am killed, martyred, because I stood for the truth of Jesus Christ, trying to help people go to heaven, I have laid down my life for you. Did the devil win? No. He just allowed me to display the greatest love possible. And then the day's coming, if he gets me. Day's coming. All that are in the graves will hear the voice. The Son of God. Arise. So even if the devil thinks he won, like killing me or killing a Christian, I'm getting up one day. Spirit, soul, body. I'm going to go. Remember me. I'm back. I see it. On a white horse, trying to control that little horse beside Jesus, looking over at the devil as he's on his knee, confessing Jesus as Lord. You gotta remember me, buddy? Fire insurance. It's gonna be hot where you're headed. We win. But see, I'm not one of those preachers that say we win and it doesn't matter what you do just because you believe. No, you win if you fight. If you don't fight, you lose. Simple as that. And I promise you, I pray for you and I fight for you. But it's like any fight. If you don't fight for yourself, you won't survive. Amen. Bind the demons in Jesus. Cast them out if you've given place or opened a door. Go through your house and make sure there's nothing in there that would grieve the Holy Spirit or that might be an accursed object. If it's been a long time and you hadn't anointed your house, anoint your house and your property. Also, we've entered into October, the favorite month of the witches and the Satanists. And they're cursing people with more abandoned. You need to break curses off of you, spells and witchcraft. And one day we'll talk more about that, that they can have an effect. Break their curses and their spells in Jesus' name. Bind the demons sent by witches and Satan. I assure you, whether you know it or not, there is a witch around. You may work with one, but they are speaking curses against you, especially if they know you're a Christian. They are sending demons. Witchcraft, the only thing, all witchcraft is sending words which have power and demons. That's all it is. Instead of a random demon deciding they're going to attack Pablo, a witch says, go attack him. That's what witchcraft is. That's all it is. Fight it. Fight, fight, fight in the name of Jesus. I hear people all the time. I hear Christians out there. I feel sorry for them. This is how the Christian church is. I will hear people pray, and never end their prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. What is that? You just said words, man. Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name. He said, in my name you will cast out demons. You better do it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, loudly, boldly, clearly. Bind the demons, rebuke them, command them to go. If they come into you, command them to leave you. If you don't, it's only going to get worse. And I know, hear me, I know the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. Absolutely, positively sure. He told me about 3 weeks ago this is coming because we're getting lazy. I'm getting more and more messages, emails, about people needing deliverance, tormented, nightmares, sexual dreams, tormented, constant depression, constant sickness and accidents. We're supposed to be minimizing all that mess. Amen? Now, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. We're not. It doesn't make us immune to no problems. That's not what I'm saying. But if you can avoid a lot of the problems, wouldn't you like that? All that you can avoid would be nice, right? All right. In Jesus' name, we can overcome Satan. Amen? But if we're stupid and lazy, and let the devil get an advantage of, we're in trouble. Man, so how many need to hear this morning? Y'all did, whether you know it or not. You need to hear it like 500 times. Fight, fight, fight. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love you today. God, we thank you that in the name of Jesus and through the cross and the blood of Jesus shed in his resurrection, we have great power and authority you've given to your people, your true church, to bind Satan to spoil his house, both demonic attacks, mental, emotional, and physical. Well, we've been having some people getting attacked in here. So Lord, we want to anoint them with oil and pray over them today. Before we leave, and I know, Sandra, we need to pray for you this morning. Anybody else that's been attacked physically or mentally, emotionally, want prayer, I want you to just come up here. And we're going to anoint you with oil and pray for you. I mean, if you feel like you're already good, that's fine. You know, if you feel like you beat it and you're okay, no worries, but I just want to give that opportunity before we leave this morning. Anybody needs prayer, come on right now. You can play that wake-up song a little low there if you would. Sandra's had something, attack or problem in her back, so we're going to pray for her to be healed. Anybody else? Get this oil here. Nancy and Paul, if you would. Any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. I'm praying over and anointing with oil. Prayer of faith. All right. Where is it that's bothering you? Okay. Between your shoulder blades? Okay. You lay hands on her. Put her right there. All right, we'll anoint you with oil. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we anoint Sandra with oil right now. We pray, God, for your healing right now. We bind Satan. We bind and rebuke this attack in her body, in her back, in her neck, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we say by your stripes we were healed. And so, Lord, as the elders of this church, we lay hands upon her. We anoint her with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for healing. Right now, healing in her body, in her back, her neck, her vertebrae, spine, from head to toe, Lord, we pray for the anointing and for healing power in Jesus' name. Flow! Let healing flow. We thank you, Lord. You said in your word that believers would lay hands upon the sick and they would recover. So we are believers. We are elders. We anoint her with oil. We have obeyed the word in Jesus. We believe that you're healing her now, her back. In Jesus' name. The anointing of the Holy Ghost destroyed. Go to the death. We thank you, Lord, for healing. And the Lord wants me to tell you that this manifestation in your back and your neck started in your head. That you've allowed him to talk to you. But you're a fighter. And you've gotten tired. But the Lord just wants you to step back up. In Jesus' name. And you know what? When you feel tired and weak and down, time to call your brothers and sisters and say, I need to pray. We need each other. Thank you, Lord, for healing my sister. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we anoint Sheree with oil right now in the name of the Lord. And God, in Jesus' name, we take authority. We bind these spiritual attacks on her mind, will, and emotion. Satan, we bind you and we break your power off spirit, soul, and body. We rebuke you. Every spirit, every lying spirit, every spirit of depression, discouragement, every mental attack, we rebuke you and command you to loose her and go in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against her shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against her in judgment we condemn. We break every curse, spell, and incantation of witchcraft against her. From people in that hospital, we break their curses and their words off of Sheree right now. We bind the demons of witchcraft, oppression, and heaviness. We break